I want you to just imagine for a second that you are typing a relatively simple math problem into a calculator.
Right, just a standard everyday calculation.
Exactly. You hit the equal sign and it spits back an answer, but you know, it has a tiny microscopic rounding error.
We're talking what, like 10 decimal places deep?
Yeah, exactly. Just super far down. And in everyday life, I mean, it doesn't matter at all. You can still calculate your grocery bill, you can figure out the tip at a restaurant.
Sure.
But what if I told you that in the realm of high-level mathematics, that tiny, seemingly insignificant rounding error could completely destroy a 300-year-old mathematical proof?
It's basically the ultimate butterfly effect of the computational world,
Yeah.
you know? A computer dropping a single decimal point on, like, line one of a calculation becomes a completely invalid collapsed theorem by line 400.
And that fragility is exactly what we're tackling today. Welcome to the deep dive. We're looking at this fascinating set of academic notes that bridge historical number theory with modern computer science.
A really cool set of sources.
It is. And our mission today is to unpack a revolutionary mathematical framework called homogeneous power nodes, or HPN for short. And we're going to explore how this framework tackles one of the most famously impossible puzzles in human history, which is Fermat's last theorem.
Yeah, the documents we're analyzing today, they really document a profound evolution in math. We actually get to see how this smaller concept called area node numbers evolved into this massive HPN framework.
Right, which changes everything.
Exactly. The overarching goal here is changing the very foundation of how machines handle complex number theory, you know, without destroying the actual truth of the math in the process.
Let's start with a visual for anyone listening who might not spend their weekends coding math software.
Good idea.
Doing standard decimal math on a computer using what programmers call floating point arithmetic is a lot like zooming in on a blurry JPEG
Oh,
image.
that's a great way to put it.
Right, because the computer has finite memory, it basically has to cut corners. So you zoom in close enough, and the smooth lines break down into those messy, blocky pixels.
You completely lose the true picture.
Exactly, you lose the truth of the image. But this new HPN framework, it acts like a pristine vector graphic. No matter how far you zoom in, the lines stay perfectly sharp. The algebraic DNA of the math remains absolutely flawless.
Yeah, the vector graphic comparison that gets right to the heart of the problem, which is mathematical representation.
Right.
Before we even approach the dragon of Fermat's last theorem, we have to look at the weapon being forged to fight it.
Right.
We have to understand how this framework keeps math exact inside a machine that is fundamentally built to round things off when it runs out of space.
Because a computer literally cannot hold infinite decimal places. I mean, there's a physical limit to the memory chip. So where do these notes actually start solving that?
Well, they begin with a concept called the area node number, or ANN.
Okay, ANN.
Yeah. And this was originally designed to protect quadratic structures. So equations that involve squaring numbers, which, you know, show up constantly in geometry and physics.
Yeah.
Imagine a formula where you square a number, divide it by another number, and then add a third. If a standard computer tries to calculate that, and your first number is incredibly tiny, but the number you're dividing by is massive.
The computer just runs out of decimal places.
Exactly. It runs out of room to hold that tiny fraction. So it throws his hands up, calls the number zero, and just moves on. Programmers call this underflow.
So the machine basically just deletes a piece of the universe to save space.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that underflow is what destroys mathematical proofs.
Right.
The area node number framework, it prevents this by utilizing a principle of delayed collapse.
Delayed collapse. Okay, I like the sound of that.
It outright refuses to execute the final calculation. Instead of crunching the numbers into a single messy decimal that might underflow, it stores the equation as this raw, separated data structure.
Oh, I see.
It holds the variables perfectly apart in a sort of suspended animation.
And I'm picturing this like it's like keeping the ingredients of a cake completely separate in your pantry.
Okay, yeah.
Like you've got your bag of flour, your carton of eggs, your sugar, and instead of baking it immediately into a cake, which, you know, you can never unbake to see exactly how much sugar went in, you just keep the raw ingredients sitting there.
Yes, exactly.
By keeping them separated in this highly specific pantry structure, you can perfectly analyze exactly what you have without dealing with the messy reality of the final baked product.
That is spot on. And the way the math handles those raw ingredients is where the true brilliance of this lies. The notes describe a mechanism called tensor product closure.
Okay, wait, let's break that down, because tensor product closure sounds incredibly intimidating.
It does sound intense, but just think of it as a mathematical lockbox.
A lockbox.
Yeah, this lockbox defines the absolute rules of how your flour and sugar are allowed to interact if they were to be baked without ever actually mixing them.
Oh.
It allows the computer to perform addition and multiplication on these unbaked ingredients perfectly. And because it works so flawlessly for quadratic equations, you know, those numbers raised to the power of 2, the author of these notes realized this lockbox concept didn't have to stop there.
Which brings us to the evolution, the homogeneous power node, the HPN.
Exactly. They extended this lockbox to handle any whole number degree, which mathematicians usually represent with the letter K.
Right.
So instead of just dealing with squares, the computer stores the data as a complex fraction. You have a numerator raised to a power, sitting safely above a denominator, completely untouched, plus a constant.
I want to make sure I'm capturing the relationship between these numbers without, you know, getting bogged down in the pure algebra.
Sure.
It means you can have variables raised to the third power, the fifth power, the hundredth power, and the computer still treats them like those raw, pristine ingredients on the pantry shelf.
Yes. Because of that tensor product closure, the rules hold up for any whole number power. You can multiply these massive separated components together, and the framework just scales naturally.
That's wild.
It prevents the computer from generating messy square roots or, like, weird fractional cross terms that would force the machine to start rounding decimals again. It maintains the absolute, pure algebraic identity of the numbers indefinitely.
So we have this perfectly stable framework, no JPEG artifacts, right? No dropped decimals.
Okay.
So now we get to aim this weapon directly at Fermat's famously impossible equation. Let's analyze that connection.
Yeah, so for a quick historical baseline, Pierre de Fermat wrote in the margin of a book in 1637 that for the equation x to the k plus y to the k equals z to the k, there are no whole number solutions if the power k is greater than 2.
Right.
And he claimed he had a truly marvelous proof, but the margin of his book was simply too small to write it down.
Which is just a 300-year-old mathematical flex that haunted generations of the smartest people on Earth.
It really did.
So how does our perfectly unbaked cake framework, you know, the HPN, actually connect to Fermat's margin note?
Well, the notes detail how Fermat's last theorem is encoded directly into HPN space by defining something called the Fermat node.
The Fermat node.
You take Fermat's equation and you translate it directly into an HPN data structure. It formats the variables into the exact storage system we just talked about.
So if you were to eventually collapse this node, like, if you finally hit the equal sign and bake the cake, it just gives you Fermat's equation evaluated for whatever numbers you put in.
Exactly. And the core insight of the framework is this. If Fermat's last theorem is universally true, then for any power greater than 2, the final measurement of this specific Fermat node can never equal 0.
Wait, I need to push back here for a second because I feel like there's a massive logical leap happening.
Okay, go for it.
Fermat's theorem applies to literally all whole numbers up to infinity, right?
Right.
Even if we put the equation into this perfect mathematical lockbox, a computer still cannot count to infinity. I mean, it can't plug in every single number in the universe to check if the node ever equals 0. Are we just, like, translating a book into another language and hoping the ending changes?
That's a very fair question. But it is much more profound than just translating a book. To use your analogy, it's like translating a book from a language where the definitions of words constantly shift and blur into a language where every single definition is locked in a vault.
Okay.
This fundamentally shifts the entire nature of the problem. It moves the math away from numerical evaluation, you know, trying to crunch numbers until the machine dies, and turns it into geometric algebraic identity verification.
Oh, so we aren't testing individual points anymore. We are looking at the architectural blueprint itself.
Exactly. Geometrically, Fermat's equation represents multidimensional shapes called algebraic curves.
Right.
By putting the equation into the HPN framework, it translates those curves into what the notes call diagonal hypersurfaces.
Diagonal hypersurfaces.
Yeah, you can visualize this as a complex undulating surface defined by these perfect relationships. Because we are in this pristine vector space, the computer can apply strict geometric rules to trace the curves of that surface without ever falling off into rounding errors.
Wow.
You are proving things about the architectural structure of the shapes themselves rather than testing individual numbers.
That makes so much more sense. We have the perfect blueprint, and the computer can trace every line of it without making a mistake.
Right.
But, you know, having a flawless blueprint isn't exactly the same as proving the building can't be built. How does HPN actually execute a mathematical proof?
The documents outline two classical mathematical attacks on Fermat's Last Theorem, both of which HPN executes flawlessly. The first one relies on a concept called cyclotomic factorization.
Cyclotomic factorization. Let's unpack that, because factorization is just breaking a big mathematical problem down into smaller multiplied pieces, right?
Basically, yeah.
So how does cyclotomic factorization specifically attack Fermat, and how does HPN enable it?
So back in the 19th century, mathematicians named Lemay and Coomer tried to prove Fermat by breaking the equation down into smaller building blocks.
Okay.
But to factor this specific equation, they had to use complex numbers, specifically things called the pth roots of unity.
And here is where a standard computer would normally just crash and burn.
Oh, absolutely.
Because complex numbers involve imaginary components, like the square root of -1. When you try to force a computer to calculate those, it results in these endless, irrational decimals. Cue the underflow and the massive rounding errors.
Exactly. If you try to program Coomer's 19th century method into a standard algorithm, the floating point instability destroys the proof instantly. It just falls apart.
Right.
But HPN product nodes store those exact algebraic factorizations in their raw, separated lockboxes. The computer doesn't need to know the infinite decimal value of the complex number. It only needs to know its structural relationship to the other ingredients.
It's keeping those complex roots of unity separated on the shelf. It's just reading their labels instead of trying to measure them out perfectly.
Yes. Because the relationships are perfectly preserved, the computer can perform rigorous divisibility checks, which are essentially complex logic puzzles, purely by examining the unbaked ingredients.
That is brilliant.
It is. It allows modern algebraic software to flawlessly verify Coomer's conditions without a single drop of numerical instability.
So it's digitizing a 19th century attack perfectly.
Exactly.
That brings us to the second method outlined in the notes, which was actually Fermat's original logic, right? A concept known as infinite descent.
Yes, the mechanism of infinite descent is a beautiful piece of logic. You want to prove that absolutely no positive whole numbers can solve the equation.
Right.
So you start by assuming the opposite.
Right.
You assume a valid whole number solution does exist.
This is essentially mathematical Russian nesting dolls.
Oh, I like that.
You assume you have found the biggest doll, which is a valid solution. And then, using strict rules, you prove that if that first doll exists, there has to be another perfectly proportional but smaller doll hidden inside it.
Right.
Which means there's a smaller whole number solution.
And if that smaller solution exists, the rules dictate there must be an even smaller one inside of that, continuing downward forever, an infinite descending chain.
But the contradiction is right there. You are dealing exclusively with positive whole numbers.
Exactly.
And one first stop at one. You physically cannot have an infinitely descending chain of positive integers. You will eventually just run out of smaller dolls.
Right, you hit the bottom.
So because an infinite descent is impossible, your very first assumption that a solution exists at all has to be false. The logic just collapses in on itself in the best way possible.
In the HPN space, this infinite descent becomes a highly rigorous rewrite system on the raw vectors. You assume your Fermat node equals zero. Then the computer uses the HPN rules to extract square roots or cube roots of the parameters to construct that smaller exact integer solution.
And crucially, because HPN is that unbaked cake state,
yeah,
the computer isn't actually calculating the roots and getting those messy decimals that would normally trigger a rounding error and ruin the descent.
Exactly. The machine proves that the architectural structure of a smaller solution must logically exist within the parameters of the larger one. The proof is preserved entirely in the structure of the node, immune to floating point calculations.
Wow.
It makes infinite descent mechanically perfect.
Okay, this sounds like an absolute magic bullet. It handles complex factorization and endless descending loops perfectly. But this leads me to, like, the biggest question of the whole deep dive.
Okay, what is it?
If this HPN framework is so mathematically perfect, why didn't a computer just run this program 50 years ago and solve the mystery? Why did it take a human mathematician, Andrew Wiles, locking himself in an attic for 7 years in the 1990s to finally prove Fermat's last theorem? I mean, what is the catch with HPN's limitations when dealing with higher order algebraic structures?
That is the million-dollar question. and the notes are incredibly transparent about the boundaries of this system. The catch is that HPN, for all its perfection, cannot prove Fermat's last theorem completely on its own.
So what is actually stopping it?
Fermat's last theorem, in its full universal scope, requires global arguments over all integers. The only reason Andrew Weil's finally solved it is because he utilized something called the Taniyama-Shimura-Weil conjecture.
Another imposing name. What did that conjecture actually do?
It built a miraculous bridge between two entirely isolated continents of mathematics. It connected elliptic curves, which belong to the algebraic world of rigid geometry, to modular forms.
And modular forms are what?
Modular forms belong to the analytic world. They involve complex infinite series, continuous symmetries, fluid wavy functions. HPN is fundamentally an algebraic tool. It handles rigid polynomial structures beautifully.
Right.
But it hits a hard wall when faced with the deep, continuous analytic proofs required by modular forms.
Ah, I see. It's like HPN is the world's most brilliant calculator for one specific language, but it doesn't speak the fluid language of analysis.
That's it.
It lacks the human intuition required to look at two totally different fields of math and realize they're secretly describing the same universe.
This really illustrates a vital point about the evolution of mathematics. Just as the earlier area node numbers couldn't comprehend cubic curves without humans inventing new rules for them, HPN is strictly bound by the algebraic rules it was programmed with.
Right. It's limited by its programming.
It cannot replace the profound imaginative leaps that human minds make.
So if it didn't solve the ultimate puzzle on its own, and we already know Fermat's theorem is true, thanks to Andrew Wiles, let's talk about the future applications. What is the actual value of HPN for the mathematicians of today? Where is this framework being applied in modern number theory?
The potential for HPN in modern number theory is immense. Because it provides this completely collision-free computational foundation, it is the ultimate tool for verifying highly complex cases where a single drop decimal would ruin months of supercomputer time.
Oh, wow.
For instance, it serves as the perfect backend for verifying the first and second cases of Fermat's last theorem for what mathematicians call irregular primes.
So it's basically checking millions of exponents and bases flawlessly.
Yes. And beyond just Fermat, HPN is actively translating the geometric aspects of massive theorems into pure, stable polynomial algebra. That reliable translation is crucial for the entire field of modern computational algebraic geometry.
So this is essentially the ultimate infinite precision toolkit for modern math software.
Exactly.
It bridges that agonizing gap between our computers, which have limited memory chips, and the infinite precision of human thought. It lets a supercomputer do math exactly the same way a human mathematician does it with a piece of chalk on a chalkboard, keeping the symbols perfectly intact until the very end.
It preserves the exact DNA of a mathematical proof right up to the final moment of computation. It ensures the machine's limitations don't corrupt the universe's logic.
That is just incredible. To wrap up this journey for you listening, we started with the concept of area node numbers, a system designed to keep our quadratic ingredients perfectly separate and avoid the fatal flaw of underflow. We watched that system scale up to the immense power of homogeneous power nodes, capable of handling variables raised to any degree. We saw how this framework encodes the impossible puzzle of Fermat's last theorem into a raw architectural data structure.
A beautiful structure, really.
And we explored how it acts as an engine for proof, executing complex cyclotomic factorization and endless mathematical Russian nesting dolls without ever dropping a decimal.
We also mapped its boundaries, recognizing that while a machine can maintain structural perfection indefinitely, it still requires the imaginative genius of the human mind to bridge the deepest chasms of mathematical logic.
It doesn't replace the mathematician, it just gives them an unbreakable chalkboard. The next time you rely on a computer to give you an exact answer, whether you're splitting a complicated bill or looking up the orbital path of a satellite, I want you to think about that hidden, relentless battle happening underneath the keyboard against floating point errors.
It's always happening.
Appreciate the fact that somewhere out there, people are inventing entirely new fundamental number systems just to keep the algebra of our universe pure.
And, you know, if you want something truly mind-bending to mull over, consider a quantum analogy that's actually hinted at in the margins of these notes.
Oh, lay it on me.
We have spent this time discussing how HPN perfectly models complex structures by preserving their algebraic relationships without ever evaluating them. It fundamentally delays the collapse.
Keeping the cake unbaked.
Now, what happens if we apply that principle of delayed collapse to the physical universe?
Oh, boy.
In quantum mechanics, observing or measuring a state causes the superposition to collapse into a single reality. What if the universe itself is operating on an HPN framework?
Wait, really?
Could the universe be storing our reality as unevaluated quantum states, maintaining these perfect, exact mathematical relationships in the background, and only collapsing the map into the messy reality we perceive when it's absolutely forced to?
Okay, that is a thought to keep you up at night. Until next time, keep digging deeper.